open up your, I've got lots of places to preach from. Got too much scripture, chopped it in half. You can never have too much scripture. So I'll just like commission you to go back and read some more. We're going to be looking at Joshua chapter 2 and 6, James chapter 2, and Hebrews 11, and a bunch of other stuff. But all right, first of all, Happy New Year. It's a new year. Everybody thankful it's a new year and a new season. I am doing part two of my message, and my message was, do you guys remember, reset, recommissioned, relaunch. So since last week, hopefully you're in a different stage of like a revelation of reset, that means God gave me a new beginning, right? So Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ Jesus, raise your hand if you've given your life to Christ Jesus, has become a new person, thank God. A new person, a new creation, the old life is gone, a new life has begun. And how many people, you've gotten a revelation of the reset button, that happens every day. I can receive a restart every day with the Lord Jesus because it says that God's promises are, his loving kindness, his mercies are renewed every day, and I need mercy every day in my life, all right? Now, this is the gospel. You know, we talk about the gospel, and there is this, the better translation of the word gospel is the almost too good to be true news, because it sounds wild. It sounds like you can't believe it, that every day that I mess up, I can call in the name of Jesus and say, Jesus, forgive me, I messed up. I said too much. I did the wrong thing. I cut someone off on the way here. Lord God, forgive me. And he goes, oh, reset button. I don't hold your past against you. But how many people know the steps then to walk out our own salvation, right? We need to repent, which means change our ways, and that calls some action steps. Otherwise, the definition of insanity is what? Doing the same thing over and over again, asking for different results. And the Lord goes, I'm giving you a reset, restart. I don't hold your past against you. It's a new day. It's a new season. You're a new you, but you're going to have to, what? Change your ways and walk it out in some action. And I want to talk about that today. All right, Colossians 3, 1 through 3 really talks about this almost too good to be true news. It says, since you have been raised to a new life with Christ. So when I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and he was raised to a new life, I was raised with him and given a new life. That's powerful. Don't skim over that. He did that for me. And when he was raised from the dead, I was raised with him to a new life with him. All right? And it says, so because of this, set your sights on the realities of heaven where Christ sits. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is in your life, is revealed to the whole world, you'll share in his glory. That means the Lord Jesus wants us to receive his grace, his divine empowerment, to walk like him on this earth. And I need to be more like him every day. Just something I've been praying a lot. It's like, Lord, you're the great shepherd. You're the best pastor. I want to be more like you. Help me to feed, guide, and protect more like you. I want to be more like him. And that just needs to be our cry of our hearts, right? And we receive that by faith, but then we have to act on it. And God will supercharge it and change you more into more like him. All right, so speaking of this, you know, how many people know we all have good intentions? I mean, come on. Just generally speaking, they're not terrible people here. Like, we're good people. We have good intentions. We wake up in the morning with good intentions. How many people have good intentions for 2026? It's called our New Year's resolution. So if you happen to have one, go ahead and share it with the person beside you if you happen to have a New Year's resolution. I really, really wanted a treadmill from my husband because we too, Mike and I come from families of practical gifts, and I actually asked him for one. It wasn't like he gave one to me. I was like, I really, really want one. Brad, where is our treadmill sitting? The dresser. Yep, it's actually underneath the dresser in my room, unplugged. And it was so funny. We had a birthday party for Zeke, of which I scrubbed my entire house, and the embarrassing amount of dust that's been on that thing for 2 years. So I have really good intentions. And I was like, this is taking up too much room in my house. So I just put it, out of sight, out of mind, right? So did I take any action steps? I didn't even pull it out. Like, my action step was just trying to dust it. And I finally was like, I'll just dust the one side that you can see from underneath. It's fine. Yeah. All right. Maybe to actually use that gym membership. You know, I know people that avoid going to the gym for the entire month of January.
And really by February, everybody's New Year's resolutions have just trickled off, you know, and you can go back and get on, you know, your favorite little space at the gym here. A lot of people, you know, I talk to and they're like, our goal, our New Year's resolution is to get out of debt. That's a really good one. Maybe find a new hobby. How about make new friends because you found out your old friends were toxic? You know, how about this one? My goal is to not Netflix binge while scrolling on Instagram, while eating fast food and picking my nose at the same time. We laugh because it's true. Just, you know what? I'm working with my son. Where'd you learn it first, Mom? That's fine. Okay, joking. All right. So we all like to make New Year's resolutions, but let's be real. Are you kind of tired? Maybe you don't even make New Year's resolutions anymore because you're like realize you're not going to do them. Right? Come on. Finally, you're like, I'm just not going to set myself up. But, you know, we get to this point and we get really excited about a new year and a new season because normally we're just so tired of the old. Anybody just tired of the old and it was exhausting? And like I said, if I'm kind of touching on some things that stir your heart, please listen to my last message because it's just kind of trying to jump where I was at. But it's really important to put action to our intentions. It's really important. You know, what does the world call Christians and the reason why they don't go to church? They call us all hypocrites because we talk, and we don't do the stuff. But you know what's so great is the power of God's grace. And I can't change me. I don't know about you, but I'm a mess. I can't change me. And I have a revelation of God's grace. And God's grace says, my faith is in you, Jesus. I'm a mess. I can't change me. And I'm going to put my faith in you, and I'm going to take some action steps. And then your grace comes in like a flood. Do you know what the word grace means? God's divine empowerment. In our weakest of moments, God's divine empowerment comes in like a flood, and he transforms us. How many people need transformation? So you know what you have to do? You're going to have to, like, what? Number one, you're going to have to find some promises of God, what God's will is for your life. And yeah, you're going to have to speak that, but here's where we miss it up in churches. We're really good at talking, especially in this church. We're really good about talking faith. But the action step, and we normally don't do that because we don't want to fail, but guess what? When you take a step of faith, remember Peter, he walked on water and everybody's like, he failed. No, he walked on water and he's the only one written on the history books that has ever walked on water. Why? Because he took a step of faith and Jesus didn't let him fall. So my challenge to you in this message is I want you to burn your boat. Now, there's a historical story, which I don't agree with the motive, but I think there was something to take away from it, is there was a military general that wanted to motivate its troops to win a battle. So they came on a boat, and you know what the military general did? He burnt the boat to motivate them because there was no going back. And I want to say this, I said it last week, it's a new day, it's a new season, and God is giving you a new way to live your new day. And it's time to step so far out of your boat, step so far out in faith to really go all in and not just toe in. You know, I'm like the toe in person in my family stuff because I get cold really easily. Like Michael has a pool or whatever, and I'm like toe in auntie. I'm like, I'll put my legs in auntie because I just get cold really easily because it's under the trees. And God's saying, I want you just to jump in the deep end. And burn the boat, because there's no going back. And that, how many people, this is a little scary. How many people need Jesus? This is a good place to be. It's called risk. Faith is spelled R-I-S-K. So as I do this message and I talk about stepping out in faith, I want you to start writing some things down. You know, they do a statistic here. They say 92% of people make a New Year's resolution and don't actually do it. That's the majority. That's like a drastic majority. I am not the 8%. We know where my treadmill is, okay? So what changes us into the 8%? Desperation. I'm gonna be real. How desperate are you for change in your life? How desperate are you? And I'm gonna say this, it comes down to commitment. And a lot of us make commitments. We're Americans, we make commitments. And you know what? We go to pay lots and lots of money to go to court to get out of them. Because contracts, what apparently in business, are made to be broken. That's what, you know, fuels a lot of our lawyers around here, right? But it's very interesting. We're going to talk about covenant. I'm doing a study on blood covenant, and I'm hoping to like really dive in next week. But if you talk to someone of a different culture and a different country that really understands covenant, because we've forgotten it in America. I'll just be real. It's just been kind of like, we've gone a couple hundred years where that's just kind of out of our DNA. But if you talk to someone that is reconnected with their culture of a different country, and they understand blood covenant is something you don't break and you don't mess with, a covenant signed in blood. And that's what Jesus did. So, oh, I want to talk about so much. So what are we talking about? How desperate are you? Commitment is walking into a room with no exits. That's what my pastor in Tulsa used to say. Commitment is walking into a room without an exit strategy. Commitment is burning your boat. And my question to you and myself is how far are you going to kick yourself out of your boat to where you can't go back? Look at and pray about, Lord, what is holding me back? Is it my insecurity? Am I worried about what people are going to say about me? You know, is it just distractions in my life? Is it just busyness? Is it just I'm overcommitted to everything else and the one thing you're calling me to commit to, I don't have time for? Or how about this? It's the old associations. It's the old people that we hang out with that pull us back into the old ways. And for some of us Christians, I'll be real, we just hang out with all talk people. You might not be like acting a fool on the weekend, repenting for all the things we're acting a fool on the weekend for. That's what my friends and I were doing in their 20s. Go to church the next day, oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. But maybe you're the people that just sit in your little group and you talk. You talk faith. You're really good at talking faith. But we're not walking on water. It's time to burn the boat. It's time to hang out with some different people that are actually, ready for this, doing the stuff. Now, remember I said last week, make new friends, keep the old, one is silver and the other's gold. I'm not telling you to like cut everyone off. I'm just saying, I think you need some new associations. I think you need some divine alignments. I think you need to mix it up and get around some people that their face scares you a little bit. Everybody sing with me. Make new friends, keep the old, one is silver and the other's gold. You might need to sit somewhere else at church. Not still be friends. Go sit beside someone else because it's a lot easier to say, hey, would you like to go out to lunch? Or I was on a budget, so you know what, the young adults and I, like when the weather's really nice, we're like, hey, do you want to go to Counselor's Park? And we picnic. Because, you know, not everybody has money to go out to eat every Sunday, right? Hey, why don't you just come on over and hold my kid and help me change diapers? Just don't tell them the last part. Come over, snuggle my kid and help me change diapers. You know, just, if you sit somewhere else, you're more likely to what? Make some new alignments for some new assignments to get you walking on water again. And I will say this, join a grow group. Mix it up a little bit. All right, here we go. We're going to talk about this. All right, I'm going to give you a couple steps because I chopped off half my notes and we're probably not going to get to the steps at the end. And how many people like steps? I don't believe in formulas. There is no formula to your faith, but steps just kind of help me consolidate some things to pray about and ask the Lord how to take action. So really simple. I'm giving you to the beginning instead of the end. Number one, and we kind of talked about this last week. God has given you a new season, and now you need some new dreams, especially if the old ones went. So number one, write the vision and ask God for steps to walk into it. It's really simple. I'm not giving you a formula. I'm just giving you something to pray about. Number one, write the vision. Ask God. You got to start redreaming with God. I'm building on what I did last week. Redream with God and write those steps down. God, what are some steps to take towards this vision? Okay. Number two, pray the word of God and fast those distractions that are keeping you from taking action. And if your excuse is I'm too busy and I got no time, guess what? You found something to get on the boat on. I'll be real. You know how you burn your boat? Get rid of all the busy overcommitments of things that you really don't want to do, but you just feel guilted into saying yes. Ready for this? There's just the old season stuff. We keep saying yes to the same old things, and God's calling you to do something new. Number three, meditate on the word of God. Get it so deep in your heart. That means chew on it, because when it starts becoming alive, it starts to overflow. And after that, I'm going to say this, speak the word in faith over your life. Prophesy life. Now, I want to talk about the extremes of this because I think we do this really well, but we miss the last step. Step number 5 is take action steps in faith. So these steps are on the screen here. And like I said, I was going to hit them on the end, but I think we're going to just go out in the water here and not get to it. All right, so I want to see long-term change in my life. They say it takes over 2 months to see long-term change in your life. How many times do we last, 2 weeks? Sometimes we just forget Sunday to Sunday. So could you do something right after service that would help you burn your boat and create some space to step out in the promises of God? Because I don't want to be like Israel. And this is where I left off last week. Israel was set free from slavery. But I was really praying about this, and I felt like the Lord saying that in the American culture, we are enslaved to busyness. And that's where we lose our vision and we lose our faith because we're so busy, 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 meeting everyone else's expectations, keeping up with the Joneses. In fact, I have to work 3 different jobs so I can afford my really, really big house and my extravagant vacation so I don't feel left behind from this other person. So I have something else to put online. Just something to think about. And I believe that is why the children of Israel did not make it into the promised land, because why they kept grumbling and they kept looking back. All right, Hebrews 6, 11 through 12. It says this: "We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end so that what you hope for may be fully realized and come true. Then you will not become spiritually dull, indifferent, and sluggish." Raise your hand if that's the way the last year ended. You're feeling dull. You're feeling indifferent, you're feeling sluggish, and you're just bored. Most Christians are just bored. It's okay. Will you raise your hand? It's okay. You have some moments where you're just like running through the grind, just getting it done, just trying to make it to the week. All right. And God says this: I don't want you to become that way, and I don't want you to stay that way. And he says this: instead, follow those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patient endurance. What's that say? Looks like you need to realign with someone that's actually stepping out and doing something that scares you. That's what it says here. I don't want you to stay dull. I don't want you to stay ready, meh. You ever talk to someone, how you doing? Meh. Meh. It's like it's a sound that the young adults make. How you doing? Meh, it's M-E-H. They write it in text. Meh. I don't want you to stay that way. So here's what you need to do. Follow those who are going to inherit God's promises because of their faith and patient endurance. Does that say it was easy? That says it's hard. And endurance means it's hard for a long time. So if you're looking for someone that's doing wild things and it was just so easy for them, they don't exist. Because if you're doing things by faith, it's hard. So go sit beside someone, do lunch with someone, talk with someone, pray with someone that wants to do some scary things. And sometimes it's just sharing your testimony with someone at work because you're afraid of being labeled as that Christian because you're afraid you're going to be the first person on the chopping block. Can we be real about the day and age we live in? Whatever your steps are, that's between you and the Lord. All right, so now I want to hit, like, this is where I want to really camp out. So Joshua chapter 2-6, we're going to talk about a lady that needed a new beginning. Her name was Rahab. Anybody know who Rahab is? So Rahab, okay. So the backstory is this. Remember we talked about Moses last week. All right, the backstory is God reset, recommissioned, and relaunched Moses out at the age of what? 80. 80 years old, and here's where the legacy continues of this man of God and faith. So instead of taking the excuses that you're an antique and you've messed up your life and you've totally imploded it and God's never going to use you in a powerful way, he decided to turn aside from the daily grind and seek God. And he got what? Recommissioned at the age of 80. So no excuses, y'all, okay? And what happened is he freed the Hebrew people from slavery. And after 40 years, they're going through the desert. That means enduring faith. You ever gone through a hard time? 40 years of a hard time? Come on. Have you had 40 years of a hard time? It's biblical. It's okay. They arrive at this place east of Canaan. So it's just short of the promised land. And at this point, Moses had died, but his legacy of faith continued. How many people want this, a legacy of faith to continue? And you know what's so wild? It's because he changed his alignments for his new assignment. Now, if he just went back to Egypt and just started working the politics, because remember, he was the prince of Egypt. I'm sure he had political pull and things like that. But God told him, guess what? I'm giving you some new alliances, some new friendships, some new people of faith for the new season. God, number one, gave him Jethro. Doesn't say anything about, honestly, you don't really hear anything about Moses' biological parents. That's okay. Listen, is it okay? Are you trusting God that God's going to do work in your biological family? I'm praying for that. But that's okay. Don't get disheartened. Don't get broken if they're not following God. God's going to give you someone who's going to adopt you in. Jethro was from a totally different culture, a totally different nation. And he was a man of God that God used to prolong Moses' life. Go back and read it. He says, Moses, you're going to kill yourself if you keep doing everything all by yourself. All by myself. Don't want to be. I have people like, I'm all by myself. No one's there to help me. I was like, well, change it up, y'all. Jethro says, delegate. All right. And then what? New alignments for the new assignment. What else? Who else has God put? He gave him what? His God was moving in his brother Aaron's life. Okay. Gave him a new friend, Hur. They held his hands up during one of the most grueling battles of his life, so he didn't give up. Gave him Joshua, this young gun. He was just a fighter, and he trained him. And Caleb. So he got a new team. He got what? A dream team for a new dream. Was this Moses' dream? He got a new dream. He needed a new team for the new dream. Who's your dream team in 2026? Change it up. All right, so 3 million people are crossing the Jordan River to conquer the Promised Land, and this gets us to where we're going here. The very first objective of conquering the Promised Land was this massive, massive city called Jericho, and I believe the sound crew is going to put some pictures on the screen here. So there is a double-walled city of Jericho, of which they have archaeologically proven what was in the Bible. They actually dug it up, and I started going down a rabbit hole for an hour yesterday. So I'll just say this. Go back and look it up. It really does exist. And they actually proved what this city looked like, and they actually called it the impossible, impenetrable city. It was known in ancient times that no one could get through these walls. Has anybody looking right now at an impossible thing in your life that everybody says, sorry, that's impossible? Guess what? God is calling you to what? I'm just going to say go to it, but I'm going to say go through it. And it's okay. Is it going to be hard? Yes, it's going to be hard, but guess what? He is with you. All right. So what happened is this. So they're facing, the first stop is Jericho, an impossible task. It is unconquerable. Everybody else is like, this is crazy. Some research is they actually got to it right about the time that harvest season was over. What does that mean? That means the entire wall is, they're fortified, and they got enough food to last them for months and months and months. In fact, they got enough food, they could just wait you out. All right, so at the base of this wall, you see the outer retaining wall is a 15-foot high retaining wall of rocks. 15 feet is pretty high, right? I mean, that's a little intimidating to me. I'm not an athlete. There's no way I'm scaling that, okay? But on top of that, then there was another brick wall 26 feet high. So we had 15 feet retaining wall and then a 26-foot high next wall. And then you go up a little further up like this other hill, and then it's another 20 feet. So in total, they're looking at 46-foot walls 6 feet across. They say they could literally have like races on the top of it. This is bananas, okay? 100 people, that would be enough intimidation for you just to get back and go. Egypt and the busyness and all the excuses start looking good. But this wise leader, Joshua, who was trained by Moses for an impossible task, right? He decided to kind of prowl well with God, and God gave him some wisdom. And God says this, hey, I'm going to send two spies in. Go take two spies in to the city, and let's just do a little reconnaissance work. Like in the military, it's, you know, got to know your enemy, right? So he sends two spies in, Joshua and Caleb. And now enters the story of my heroine, my hero. Everybody say hero. Someone that is listed in the hero of faith, which is in Hebrews chapter 11. And her name is Rahab the prostitute. That is actually her name. She doesn't have a last name. It's not Rahab Smith. It's Rahab the prostitute. Because back then, did you know this? The way you earned your living, which is still like with German and English names, right? You know, Miller, farmer, you know, whatever your name was, banker. Okay. Her name was Rahab the prostitute. And you know, some other nice translations say the harlot. You know, modern translations would probably call her Rahab the Ho. And people would be very, like, offended by that. But I'll just go, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Just skip it in your notes. But that's what we call people that perform this. And this was a very common job back then. It's one of the oldest jobs. And she's known in the Bible. And they don't skip it. They just say Rahab. They're like Rahab the harlot. Okay. Did you know everything that is recorded in the Bible is recorded for a purpose and a reason? Why is God spotlighting her job? Why is God spotlighting her past? Why is God spotlighting the one thing that everyone keeps talking about and looking down upon? You'd think by the New Testament we could drop that part, right? But it's her story that gives God glory. And I want to say this. Some of you guys are afraid to share your story. And God goes, but that's where I'm going to get so much glory. Because I've rescued you, I've saved you, I'm going to use that, and that story is going to reach someone that no one else's story can reach. It's only a mistake if you don't share your story with someone else. Because it's going to save their life, it's going to cause them to not go down that path, or if they have, they're going to say, but God has redeemed your life and he's been so good to you, he's going to do it to me because he doesn't play favorites. So Rahab the prostitute is listed in the Heroes Hall of Faith, and we're going to talk about why. Anybody ever wonder why? I don't, like, there are tons of people in the Old Testament. And you're next to Abraham and Sarah and Moses and all these really cool people. And next thing you know, in the Heroes Hall of Faith, it goes, Rahab the prostitute. I want to know why. Why was she known as a hero of faith? Number one, because her life was redeemed. But you know the reason why her life was redeemed? She just didn't receive something by faith. She took extreme action. She was a woman of action. I want to be known as a person of action, okay? So let's talk about Rahab. Rahab was a very smart businesswoman because back in the day, once again, this was a very, very common job to be a prostitute or whatever. Like, you know, Nevada, they call them call girls or whatever. Back then, it wasn't a big deal, but it was still frowned upon. All right, she was very, very smart. So she put her business, her home, right by the city gate, built right into the wall. Why? Because think about this, you know, think about any port city, like Baltimore has the red light district, right? It's right where the docks are. It's right where the sailors and the military and the travelers would come right off the dock because as soon as they got there, they were looking for some fun. And what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Or real talk, everyone talked about it anyway. Because two spies were looking for a cover story. So they just did what everyone else did. They needed a cover. Two kind of travelers come through and they go where everyone else goes. They just go to the local prostitute's house. And they're looking for a cover story because no one would blink an eye at that, right? All right, unfortunately, word gets around, okay? And the king finds out two spies, two people they don't know, have just kind of, you know, gone to this very well-known prostitute, Rahab, all right? So he sends some soldiers out there. He sends some soldiers out there. Oh, man, I have so much to say. Hold on. I think I lost my spot here. Okay. Yeah. Send some soldiers out there, and they confront Rahab. Now, by the way, she has everything to lose, right? It doesn't say that she's married or anything like that, and actually we find out she's kind of the one person that is funding her entire family. You know, how about the pressure of that as a single woman to provide and protect for your whole family? All right, she's got everything to lose, and it seems like nothing to gain. So how many people would be tempted just to rat him out? No big deal. You know, hey, there's just two strangers over there. It's not like you're going to go kill them, you know, whatever. So she's cornered and confronted, and she has an opportunity. And she decides to burn the boat. And we're going to talk about why. So when the soldiers ask her, hey, Rahab, we hear there's two spies. Just point us in their direction. Don't worry about it. We'll take it from here. She goes, first of all, she sends them out. What'd she do? She sneaks them off the roof. Before she sneaks them off the rooftop, sorry. She hides them. She covers them. She takes them to the roof, and there's some flax laying out on the roof. It was very common back then, you know, if you're drying things for storage. And she covers them. Remember the term cover. She covers them. She covers them. And she sends those soldiers in the other direction. When they ask her, hey, where are they? She's like, I don't know. They went that way. And if you hurry up, you'll catch them. Why did she risk everything? Back then, they didn't just kill you. Man, they tortured you. They hurt everyone you loved. They still do that in some countries. It's disgusting. She risked everything. Why? You want to know why? Joshua 2 8 through 13. She was a woman of wild, risk-taking faith. She says this after the soldiers leave and she's about to let him off her rooftop, okay? And she says this, "I know that the Lord has given you the land. That dread of you has fallen on us, and all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you." This is Joshua 2, 8 through 13. "For we have heard how the Lord," she always referring to their God as, instead of their God, she says the Lord. So let's hear this again. "I know that," what? "Not your God, the Lord." She's confessing faith in their God. This is interesting. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the dread of you has fallen on us, that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord," says again, "dried up the water of the Red Sea before you, and when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, whom you utterly destroyed." She's like, I've heard about you guys, and you guys are tough. You guys are more than conquerors. And everyone is freaking out. Everyone's in fear. But instead of her fear freezing her, she sees an opportunity to step out in faith and puts her faith in not their God. She says, the Lord. She went, you know what? All these pagan gods, all these things we do horrific, disgusting sacrifices to, children involved, prostitution, all the nasty stuff. There's no fruit in that. There's no power in it. Your God, oh wait, the Lord. She confessed her faith in the Lord God. And it wasn't just talk. Ready for this? She took action. All right? It says this, "I believe in you," but what she did, come on, Christians, we say we believe in Jesus, but then we just leave it at that. She says this, verse 10 through 11, "As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. No one has courage to fight after hearing such things. The Lord, your God, is indeed the supreme God of heaven above and earth below." What'd she just do? She just confessed and declared that their God is the one true God, okay? And then she burnt the boat. She risked everything, takes them into her home, protects them, covers for them, and helps them escape. And she could have lost it all. So Rahab, the prostitute, is willing to take a risk for the people of God. And I want to say this. Sometimes we're like, why? By the way, she is not just, she's looking at where her life's at, and she's working really hard. She is striving in a world system, and that's all she's got. And you know, I think she's a pretty successful prostitute. Like, she's got it going. Everything's fine. But, like, I'm sure she just feels dead inside, and she's scared. And all of a sudden, she sees the real thing. And she goes, I'm going to align myself with that. I'm going to put my faith in that. And I'm going to take a step of faith. And I'm going to risk everything. She made some new alignments for the new assignment. And God was about to recommission her with a new assignment and give her a whole new life. But she had to take some risks. She put some people on her team. And this is what she did. And I want to say this. She saw God was doing something new. You ever sense there's just something new is going on? And you need to align yourself with it. Isaiah 43, 17 through 19, it says, "Stop dwelling on the past. Don't even remember the former things." It says, stop looking back. "I am doing something new, brand new, something unheard of. Even now it sprouts, it grows and matures. Don't you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and open up flowing streams in the desert." Stop looking back. God is going to open up a window of opportunity, but now you're going to have to, what, take a risk. And sometimes it's the dream team needs to change. Philippians 3:13, "But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead." She took a step. She turned her back on the false gods. She turned her back on the pagan culture. She turned her back on a career path that was not only going nowhere, but it was hurting her. And she took a risk. She took a step. She took a step that was like, there's no way I can go back to my old life. I've risked everything. And this is what she did. Now, this is very interesting because this goes into my study on covenant promises. She goes this, okay, I know you're the one true God, and these are the followers of you, so I need to like connect with people that are going somewhere in faith. But when I align myself with the promises of God, there's something that needs to change. Does this make sense? All right, I'm going to go into a little bit more. Joshua 2, 12 through 13. She's still speaking to the spies. This is right about before they're about to leave. And she goes, "Now then, since I have dealt kindly," everybody in your Bible or like in your app, highlight this, kindly. since I have dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you will in turn deal kindly, highlight it, circle it, with my family. Kindly, I've dealt kindly with you, deal kindly with my family. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all who belong to them, that you will save us from death. What's going on here? She knew things were about to get really rough, and these rough, tough people were about to go through something, and she goes, I need to align myself with them, and I want to align myself with their God and their covenant. Here we go. All right. Rahab cut a covenant. Rahab, now listen, if you have friends from another country that understands covenant, this wasn't just quick signing a contract, a paper, sliding across the table, knowing I could go fight it in court and break it. This was like blood covenant. This was a promise you did not break. If you broke this, there were consequences that were bought in blood. And this is going to go to the New Testament next week. So this word kindly, okay, first of all, a covenant is not just an agreement. It's not just like a contract, but that's what we think, because once again, we're missing it in our American culture. So the word covenant kind of, in our culture, we think it's a contract, an agreement between two people, which a promise is made. And we think, okay, it's a promise with God, but this just isn't any promise. This covenant is written in blood. This covenant cannot and will not be broken. And if it is, something dies. Fast forward to Jesus Christ, who was the ultimate sacrifice for the covenant that we broke. I will talk more about it next week. So this word kindly is actually translated, and raise your hand if you speak another language. Do you know, and I say this all the time, things are lost in translation. If you ever talk to someone in a different language and someone goes, what did you say? Sometimes there is one word that translates five different ways. That's the hardest thing. And it's really important to read the Bible in different translations, okay, so you don't miss it. I love the Amplified, because it takes the top five translation and sticks them there. This word kindly is the word hesed. H-E-S-E-D. It is often lightly translated loving kindness. Oh, that's a word we kind of know. We read what loving kindness throughout the Bible. God is a God of loving kindness. His loving kindness overflows. His loving kindness overtakes me. This word, more accurately translated, means covenant love. And what do we just talk about covenant? This is locked in, cannot be broken. This is an airtight covenant seal signed in blood. This is something so costly. And she says this, because I have dealt kindly with you and you have dealt kindly with me, I ask your covenant love, your loving kindness, covenant. You ready for this? Now you're going to catch where I'm going. To not only cover me, but to cover my family and those I love. Covenant. She had a revelation that we lose in our American culture of what covenant was. These people had aligned themselves with the one true God because she saw the proof in the pudding. And she goes, I want to go where they're going. This life is broken. It's going nowhere. It's causing me nothing but pain. I feel like trash. I feel worthless. Everyone's talking about me. This is all I am and all I'm ever going to be. But I see a one true God that is taking these people out of slavery. These are slaves, guys. This isn't like a trained army. These are slaves. And the God of the breakthrough, the God of covenant. Remember that Passover lamb? I'm going to so much. I'm like want to whirl and swirl in this one. The God of the covenant, the blood covenant that covered them. Remember the Passover lamb, the lamb's blood that took an entire slave people that knew nothing. Their whole identity had been robbed as the people of God, God's chosen ones. And all they knew was slavery. All they knew was grinding out in a world system of brokenness that was going nowhere, that everything that they had, that they worked so hard, was taken from them. They had no value, no identity. And the God of the covenant of loving kindness, covenant love, of covering, took them out of that, set them free, and impossible things are happening. God's provision for the vision of the promised land, God's divine empowerment, his grace was going where they were going. When they took steps of faith to fight a battle, When they took a step of faith, when Moses raised his rod, what? Seas parted, impossible things happened. Enemies bowed their knee, not to them, they were slaves, right? Enemies bowed to the God that they were serving. They were just in what? Blood covenant covering. And she goes, whatever's covering you, I want to cover me. And not just me, I want that to cover my family. It wasn't just a handshake. Good to meet you, Michelle. Sign this paper. Will you just cover my family and the new transition in the business? Sounds good. That's how we read it in American culture, right? But I'm going to go into some other cultures that have not forgotten blood covenant. If you broke that covenant, something had to die. Thank God Jesus Christ died for us. She knew the covenant, the loving covenant. If she asked, she put her faith in their God and goes, I want to go with you. Wherever you're going, I want to leave this what? Old life. I want to leave these old ways, these old alignments, the people that are using me and everything I have is being taken from me, slave to that world system. And I want to align myself with your God. Make a covenant with me of covenant of love. And I know that that covenant will then what? Cover my family. This is going to change how you pray. Imagine yourself, it was a lot of rain this weekend, right? Anybody like me totally forgot their umbrella because I got two kids. But imagine yourself standing next to this wonderful hunk of a husband over here, okay? And he has an umbrella. And because of my covenant of love in my marriage with him, I know that that umbrella I have legal access to. Do I need to ask my husband to cover me? Handsome man, will you stand with me here? Just held the umbrella. All I got to do is, did you see these strong arms? See the strong arms? All I got to do is tuck under, right? Because we have a covenant of love. We have a blood covenant that is what? Ordained by God. And I don't have to ask, Brad, will you cover me? I know my relationship with him by faith, and I'm going to take an action step and what? Grab my hair and my, you know, I put a lot of effort in this, and this is going to wash away, and then don't look like that. It's going to look, ugh. So I'm going to get over under that umbrella, and guess what? I got two boys. He probably already is carrying both of them, to be honest with you. And under his umbrella, we're covered. In the broken world that we live in, thank you, handsome. In the broken world that we live in, we don't understand covenant. It's been lost. And we're going to dig into some cultures that have held on to the covenant of their word. Okay? We need to know the covenant promises of his loving kindness that not only covers us, but covers our family. We're going to have to take action steps to align with him, our God. And what? It's by faith that we receive all things. And that faith is strengthened through what? Relationship. And that faith takes what? Steps. You know, some of us are just praying to stop the storm. And sometimes we're just going to go through it. Hello, economy, our nation, the world. It's a really scary place out there right now. I'll tell you, body of Christ, it's time we unite under God. It's time to unite and come together. Amen? Because we have a covenant made by blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. I'll talk about it next week. It was paid in full. A covenant of love, a covenant of blood. And that umbrella, sometimes we're like, I just want the world to stop being so awful. It's awful because Satan is the god of this world, and some people choose to align themselves with Satan. Tell you what, gossip, slander, guess what you've got? You've aligned your voice with Satan. Gossip, slander, division, rubbing people's nose in their past. Whose voice are you aligning with? But what does God say? All right, I got a tangent here. All right, covenant love. I want you to imagine that we're going to talk about the Passover lamb, the covenant love. She is saying this. I'm going to keep saying it so we don't miss it. I have seen your God, the Lord. I align myself. I put my faith in what? The Lord God, your God. And wherever you're going, I'm going with you. Make a covenant with me, because I want to come under what your God's loving kindness, your covenant love. It would protect me and my family. All right, she put her neck out there. She risked everything, right? To do this. Everything. Guys, what are we risking? We Americans, we think it's really bad here. Some other cultures, when they say, I'm a Christian at work, it gets them, horrific things could happen to them and their family. I think a lot of us just need to not be ashamed that I follow Jesus. And so what? We're a mess. Guess what? Rahab the harlot, she's Rahab the harlot. Did she clean up her mess? No, she goes, I'm going to align. I'm just taking me and my family, my big mess, and we're just going to what? Come under the umbrella of God's covenant love. Follow me? But she took some steps and she got away from those old associations, the old clients, the old way of doing things and go, I'm getting out of Dodge. And I'm going to align because she understood covenant. We're going to go, I know I keep repeating it, but once again, we Americans, I'm an American. I'm proud to be American. You know, whatever. You got me. We miss something in our culture. It's good to study other cultures because we'll find things that were forgotten. So she is not just named in the Old Testament, but go ahead. Oh, there's so much I want to say. Go to James, but I'm going to say this. Romans 10, 9 through 10. This is talking about the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, right? Old Testament means Old Covenant. So when you go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on, that is what the New Covenant, the New Testament. Rahab, the harlot, the whore, the hoe, whatever you want to call her, Rahab the mess up. She is listed in the Heroes Hall of Faith because she aligned with the one true God. She aligned because she understood covenant. And she goes, you know what? If I just get in on that covenant, I'm going to be saved and my whole family is going to be saved. Now, there's so much. Oh, man, there's just so much I want to say this. Before I go into this, Romans 10, 9 through 10 says, number one, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and two, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Welcome to the new and better covenant, the almost too good to be true news. It was a lot harder in the old covenant. There are all these blood sacrifices and animals and all kinds of, we'll talk about it. But isn't it great that we got rid of that whole animal sacrifice system? It was messy. My dry cleaning bill would be ridiculous. Are you kidding? I don't dry clean anymore. I haven't dry cleaned anything in like 15 years. At this point, you just pray over it and it'll work out. But blood covenant, every time I messed up, something had to die and blood was splattered. And number one, that's expensive and it's messy and I'm a mess. But when you're so desperate because you're so miserable, I will do desperate things. And that's what they did under the old covenant. But now we're in the new and better covenant. The covenant that was still bought with blood, the blood of Jesus, the ultimate sacrifice that says you don't need to do sacrifices anymore. You just need to what? Put your faith in me and get an understanding of blood covenant, the covenant of love, the covenant of loving kindness. And align yourself. That way, believe in your heart. Rahab, what? She believed. And she spoke with her mouth. In the New Testament, I believe in my heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that he died and rose from the grave, and my life was raised with him. I got a new life. I've gotten a new beginning. Every day I mess up. Because of your loving kindness, because of your covenant signed in the blood of your son, I get a new beginning. And if you did it for Rahab, who's listed as a harlot for a reason, because it gives God glory, how much more are you going to do for me and my family? What happened to Rahab is very interesting. Go ahead and read it. There's so much. The Lord had the children of Israel follow some tight instructions because there are power to your words. And they said, you got to march around Jericho 7 times and not say nothing and look at something impossible and not grumble and complain and talk about how impossible it is. I think we fail in that one. I do. Come on, let's be real. I'm working on what my mouth. When I'm facing impossibility, I don't need to talk about the impossibility. I'm working on that right now, okay? Be quiet. Don't say anything. Praise and worship. Worship God. And then what? The 7th time they shouted and that the wall fell down. It wasn't just like a 15-foot wall. It was a 15-foot wall, with a 26-foot wall, with a 46-foot wall. And then, by the way, there was a tower I forgot to talk about on top of it. There was a tower on that. And the whole thing fell down all the way around except what? Rahab's house and all of her family that she called upon the covenant of God, the covenant of love, the blood covenant, the Passover lamb. And you know what is a little, it's almost like a bookmark. She tied a scarlet cord. She tied what? Something red, like blood. Tied it in the window. Remember the Passover lamb? They put what? As a symbol, the blood of the lamb over the doorpost saying, hey, all the bad that's going to happen, guess what? I'm under the umbrella, umbrella, umbrella. You know what I mean. Me and my whole family under the umbrella, umbrella, umbrella. You'll remember this one. Covenant of love, loving kindness. Did she earn it? Did she clean up her mess? She's Rahab the harlot. I'm just bringing my mess. In fact, I'm not just bringing my mess. I'm bringing my whole family's mess in this. And I'm going to make a new alignment. I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. I'm going to not just talk it. I'm going to take some action steps. I'm going to get out of the boat. I'm going to take some risk. And I'm just going to pray that my whole family's going to come with me. Hello, you praying people. When you pray the covenant promises of God, no matter how ugly it is, no matter how bad it is, no matter what they're doing, no matter what they're sticking up their nose, no matter where they're driving, no matter who they're aligning themselves with, I pray for what? The covenant love of God and protection to cover them. But I have to have faith, right? Flash forward to the New Testament, and I'll end early and we'll develop this some other time. There is blessing, there is provision, there is protection. You see that throughout the Old Testament. And there's some healing in there and things like that. In the New Testament, it really clarifies the new and better covenant, which is what built on the old. So everything you see in the old, that's a covenant promise that I can align myself with. And in the New Testament, Jesus goes, hey, you think you knew God the Father? Look at me, I'm going to clarify everything. And everything I do is his heart and his way of doing things. And what did Jesus do? He healed people. He set people free. He took people that didn't deserve anything and set them right beside him. You are joint seated in heavenly places. Under my covenant, under my covering of loving kindness that is not earned, but is what? Freely given and freely received. And what we've been freely given and freely received, we are supposed to be freely giving to other people. Changes how we pray. Matthew 6:10. This is the Lord's Prayer. Everybody knows this one. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The New Testament clarified what was in heaven. We had a covenant promise, a covenant love, a covenant of blood to bring what was in heaven down to earth. Healing, freedom, deliverance, love. If we can read, and God is really just showing me this revelation, if I can read the Old Testament and the New, both of them, through the red lens of the blood of Jesus and what a covenant really was, it wasn't meant to be broken. It wasn't a quick paper you signed on. It wasn't the fire insurance with a little prayer at the end of service. It was faith, understanding what was bought, the blood of his son, because I broke the covenant back with Adam and Eve, right? Come on, I messed up. And Jesus sent his son to die for us. His blood was spilt and broken. A covenant of blood, a covenant of love that covers me and covers my family and brings what? When I call on the name of Jesus, it brings what's in heaven to earth. And I don't have to wait for eternity to walk in it. But faith doesn't just talk. Faith does. So much I want to say here. James 2:14. What does it profit if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. I want to say this. I was raised in a culture that was so profound, and I'm so thankful for the promises of God, the word of God spoken in faith. But something we forgot was faith doesn't just say, faith does, right? I need to speak faith. But just because, oh, there's so much I want to, I have to end on this. That's okay. I got 5 minutes. I'm going to take it. James 2, 25 through 26. Rahab's mentioned again. It says, in the same way, was not Rahab the harlot? Hello, rub my nose in it. No, this is singing of the glory of God. Was not Rahab the person that is messed up, that had no reputation? In the same way, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the message and sent them out another way? She took a risk. She followed through. She didn't say, just look the other way. She what? Followed it through. A lot of us have quit halfway through. We started to take action steps and we got scared and we just forgot that Jesus will what? Peter, you walk on water, he'll pick you up. It's okay. Follow it through. Complete the task, okay? Get back up on the saddle. Keep going. She took what? She sent them another way. She followed the whole thing through. I put my faith in their God. I asked to be aligned with their covenant promises, and I'm going to just burn the boat and walk all the way out. I'm putting all my eggs in one basket. I'm sticking with you, God. For just as the body without works is dead, so also faith without works is dead. This is the wild thing about covenant. Covenant love, covenant blood that covers us. It's not just a talk thing. You don't just confess it. It takes action, because what you believe, we're going to take steps for. All right. Hebrews 11, 30 through 31. Rahab the harlot, named in the Heroes Hall of Faith next to all the greats. By the faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. It was by faith that Rahab the prostitute received and welcomed the spies in peace and was not destroyed with those who did not believe and were disobedient. Faith makes a move. Faith takes a step. Faith believes in the covenant of God. That covenant is bound in blood. It's a loving kindness. It's renewed every single day. And I'm going to take a step. I'm not just going to say that I'm following Jesus. I'm not just going to say I'm a Christian. I'm not just going to say that God is the healer. I'm not just going to say that this is God's will. I'm not just going to just repeat a scripture over and over again. Now, hear me out. Do you need to speak the word of God? Yes. But my faith is in God. My faith is not in me striving to say a scripture 50,000 times. Do you hear me out? Then my faith is in my faith. My faith is in him. Do you hear where that sometimes goes off track? Rahab, her story didn't just end with her being saved. There was a blessing that came with her alignment with the covenant. Remember, her and her whole family saved. Guess what happened? Rahab the harlot. God is proud of her story because it wasn't who she is, it's just who she was. Does that make sense? It actually say that she married this man named Salmon, probably like Salmon. Like, I don't know, I'm pronouncing it wrong, but it's like she married into the Salmon family, okay? And Mr. Salmon, whom she married, was actually a great man. He was a man with a job. He was a man that had something to his name. He was a man of character and integrity, and he was the founder of Bethlehem. Isn't that cool? And Rahab was the mother of Obed. I'm sorry. Yeah, Obed. And Obed was, oh my gosh, hold on. Here I go. She married Salmon. She married in the Salmon family, which was in the tribe of Judah, which means praise. And it was the bloodline of kings where Jesus Christ was birthed from. He was a prominent man who founded the city of Bethlehem. And she became the proud mother of Boaz. There's my king. Boaz, who married Ruth, what? And that's another story of redemption and the bloodline of Jesus Christ. So Rahab the harlot was not to rub her nose in her past. It was to say that her past didn't define her, and she was one of the greatest women of faith because she took burn the boat action steps. Let's stand up and we're going to pray. I'll finish more next week, but I'm going to hit some buttons with you guys, so close your eyes and don't look at me. Remember I talked about these steps? Pray and look for steps. You do need to find the promises of God. You need to read the word and find what God has promised to you in the new covenant, right? Healing, freedom, protection, provision. These are all the promises of God. But you can't just babble them on. You just can't, like, Just, just keep saying things over and over again, expecting things to change. You have to take action steps. Does that make sense? I want you to ask God right now for some action steps. Matthew 6, 7. This is the context of the Lord's Prayer. This is literally right before he goes into the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Prayer starts at Matthew 6, 10. Matthew 6, 7. Jesus reminds us, when you pray, do not keep on babbling using vain repetitions like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many repeating words. Here's a chiropractic adjustment. You can say scripture over and over and over again. You can say 100 scriptures a day. But if you have faith, you're going to act on it. So when you say, I'm going to be debt-free, that God's got me covered, that means your steps are you need to cut up your credit card and get a budget. When you say, I'm going to be healthy in the new year, that means we got to be careful what we put in our mouth, and I'm going to have to dust off my little, the walkie thing? Treadmill. Yeah, I don't even know what the name is because it's so far under my no action stuff, okay? And I'll be real. If you say, I'm going to have better mental health in 2026, you better change your alignments for the new assignment. You better start hanging out with some healthy people. And I'll be real. If you're going to say, I'm going to have a better marriage in 2026, you need to go to marriage counseling. I know, no one looking up. But I'm telling you, I'm having so many people say, you know, Pastor, will you pray for me? And I say, okay, what scriptures are you standing on? Okay, and then I go, what action steps are you taking? You want to have better mental health? Get in some counseling as well. Find the scriptures to stand on, what? And also take some action steps. And I tell you this, listen, you can confess over and over again, I'm healed, I'm healed, I'm healed. And if you have a softball-sized tumor on your neck, you should also take some action steps and go to a doctor to look at that too. No, people don't like what I'm saying here, but I'm going to be real with you. And this is why I'm telling no one look at me. We, as a people of faith, have been disqualified by our own families, our own neighbors, our own coworkers who we are preaching to because we're talking the talk. We found the scripture, we found the promise, and I'm babbling and I'm saying it and I'm repeating it 1,000 times, but they're not seeing any action steps in our lives because faith acts. This is a heavy message. Everyone hear me. There is no guilt, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Raise your hands if you're in Christ Jesus. Okay, so don't take any guilt, but I'll say this as a pastor, it's time to change our ways. Find the promises of God, declare them, stand on them in faith, but you will need to also take some steps to walk that out. Because if you don't, there are children in your home, there are coworkers, there are friends that will walk away from the message of faith and throw the baby out with the bathwater because they did not see you take the action steps. You might need to repent for them. Does that make sense? Hear me out? All right. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just love you. And Lord, I thank you. We repent. We change our ways, Lord. We are not just the all-talk people. We are not, just say it, I'm not an all-talk person. I am a person of faith. And like Rahab, I'm going to take some steps. And now I ask this, Holy Spirit, what steps do you want me to take? Holy Spirit, what dream team do you want me to align with? Holy Spirit, how do you want me to walk this out? And I know you need to use my mouth to speak life, but you also need to use my feet to walk it out. How do I do that? Lord God, I thank you for your covenant love, your covenant blood that covers us. And Lord, out of our mouth, confession is made because we believe in our heart. Lord, we just thank you for all of our missteps and our shortcomings, everything we didn't follow through with of our action. We're not beating ourselves up. Lord, you've forgiven us. Your mercy and loving kindness is renewed every day. Today is a new day. And there's a new way for the new day. Show me how to take action steps. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, if you guys would like prayer, come on up. We'd love to pray with you. If I can have about 5 grow group leaders to pray with you. Have a great day. We love you.